Our guest today has spent the last 13 years on the Amazon River, years filled with adventure as he and his wife brought love and care to the people of the river, reaching their hearts for Jesus. Don't miss the amazing stories this lifelong missionary has to share right here on Revival for Mission. It takes a lot of courage to leave the comfort of your home and go to exotic places like the Amazon, full of adventure and lots of snakes and people that need you. Pastor Wilson, we have thousands of missionaries around the world giving their absolute best to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us, to preach the eternal gospel to every tongue, people, nation, and so on around the world. If those of us that are listening to us now, Pastor, what would you say to them in terms of giving their best, both where they are and abroad?
Well, you don't have to live on a river or even next to a river to be a mighty, powerful force for good and for the Lord Jesus Christ to use you in touching the lives of people. The story you're going to be hearing, the life you're going to be seeing, the experiences you will be hearing about can be your experiences as well as you ask the Lord to use you and tell the Lord, as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, "Lord, here I am, use me. I will go. I will do something for you." You see, mission service and activity for the Lord can take shape in many different ways, and the Lord will use you in an unbelievable manner. Now, our story today is going to be focusing on a river that is so mighty and powerful, it could swallow up, essentially, even countries around the world. But on the banks of those rivers and that river, there are people who need to hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need to hear it in your backyard as well. Now, listen to this marvelous piece of music.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. And what a special day to go to the Amazon. Well, to talk to Brad, who's been in the Amazon forever, 13 years to be very precise, which sounds like a long time to be there. Brad, welcome to Revival for Mission.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. And 13 years is almost a lifetime in the Amazon.
Pretty much. Tell us about that. How did you end up in the Amazon?
Yeah, you know, I was raised in Tennessee, actually, fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist. And I'd say the first way that I ended up in the Amazon was my mother reading me mission stories when I was a boy. And she read us the stories of the Halliwell family, Leo and Jesse Halliwell, who had gone down and inaugurated the very first Luzerno boat in 1931 on the 4th of July. My wife and I, we met at college. We went to college together at Southern Adventist University, and we chose degrees that would allow us to serve overseas as missionaries. And we actually visited in South America. And on our visits, we went to the city of Manaus, the heart of the Amazon, the Brazilian Amazon. And we met with the local church there. And in that time period, in 2004, the very first Luzerno boat that Leo and Jesse had built and worked on was still in Manaus. And we were able to see that boat and hear some of the stories locally. And God used that really to reignite in us that desire to serve in missions. And then we thought, man, imagine if we could serve one day on the Amazon and do medical mission work in unentered areas. And the Lord used that through a series of contacts for us to be able to move down to the Amazon in 2007 and begin serving the church.
Brad, it's just a wonderful privilege to be able to interview you today and to get a picture as to how God leads in people's lives. You just explained how the Lord inspired you through mission stories to be involved, and then your hope to be involved even in the Amazon. Now, for 13 years, God has led you and your wife and your family in this very special ministry, touching the lives of literally thousands of people up and down that enormous river basin of the Amazon. Tell us about this Luzerno boat project and what kind of ministry, what was involved, what is involved even now in this very special boat project.
Yeah, the Adventist Church really is owes its history in the north of Brazil to the Luzerno boats. The Luzerno boats were inaugurated, as I said, in the 4th of July of 1931. And Leo and Jesse Halliwell, they left Belém, the capital of the state of Pará, and began going by boat up this unentered, unexplored Amazon region. And they would spend 6 months or more at a time traveling on the boat, stopping in villages where the Adventist Church had never reached, and they would meet the needs of the people. They would mingle with the people. Jesse was a nurse. Leo would go out and assist with her. They would make friends and they would share people about their relationship with Jesus. And the Adventist Church, the very first Adventist Church in the state of the Amazon, was founded by the Luzerno boats. Really, at this point in history, the union that I work with, the Northwest Brazil Union Mission, is one of the largest unions in the world in terms of Adventist and to the general population. And we owe that so much because of the Luzeros. Today, we still have Luzerno boats. We administer them through the union. We do that in a partnership with ADRA, ADRA in South America. And we go out into the regions and we're still doing community development, taking out volunteers, taking out Bible workers, nurses, dentists, doctors. So you can imagine we're going into areas where geographically there's such challenges to be able to provide education, healthcare by the Brazilian government just because of the geographical challenges. So the Adventist Church is able, through the Luzerno boats, still today to meet people's needs, oftentimes in the medical area to begin with. And that always opens people's hearts. And people want to know who we are, why are we there? And that allows us then to begin visiting them in their homes, opening the Bible, studying the Bible, and doing church planting. So the Luzero program is still a church planting program where we sit down with our local conferences and we study what areas of the Amazon have we not been able to have a strong presence, or what area have we not entered yet? And we send out our Luzero boats in that area to spend months or years working in that area.
Now, let me just follow up with a somewhat personal, daily kind of question. You know, not too long ago, I had the great privilege of visiting your site there where you operate in that region. In fact, we went on your boat and or on one of the boats, and you were so kind to even provide, they provided me with a captain's hat, and I was allowed to kind of pilot the boat. Of course, I think people were very careful as to where I was to do that, because we didn't want to disturb any of the property of the church, but it worked out okay. We didn't crash. But let me tell you, let me ask you actually, Brad, because I mean, this is fascinating. What's it like to live on a boat for a while, to go visit places, to actually operate clinics, to be able to touch people's lives? I mean, what happens on a daily basis when you're on that boat?
That's a good question. When I moved to Brazil in 2007, I had so much to learn. The Lord blessed me and I was able to study. I got my boat captain's license. My wife and I spent several years on boats visiting the villages before I became the administrator at the union level. And I would tell you, my son, for example, our youngest son was born in Manaus, and he learned to walk on a boat when we were in the indigenous area. So we laugh and say he is our indigenous boy from the Satere Mawe, one of the groups, the indigenous groups. When you spend your time in the jungle, life is very different than what it is in modern civilized world. You're not connected. You have no electricity. You don't have a cell phone signal. And so really, you have a lot more time to be with the people. We would get up and I would spend most of my day in the village with the people. And I really believe that to understand them, you've got to mingle with them. I would go fishing with them. We would go out to their gardens and we'd work in their gardens together. As a healthcare professional, I would always try to work with the local healthcare representative. And the local healthcare representative has like a 3-week training course. But I would always go with them and try to empower them, knowing I'm not going to be here for good in the village. And we would go and visit. They'd call me, doctor, doctor. They call you doctor. Come. There's somebody sick. And we'd go and visit them in their house together. And always this opened the opportunity to be with them, to sit with them. You know, in the Amazon culture, if you go to their home, they're going to offer you something to drink. They're going to offer you something to eat. You become a family member. And so we'd sit there and we would talk. And then we would pray together. And I would share with them, you know, the Lord can help. I can tell you, Elder Wilson, we would find a lot of cases that, I don't know what to do out here. You don't have the resources, the medical resources that you need. And so I would say to them, you need more help than we can give you here. But since we don't have that, if you'd be willing, we could pray and ask God. And I remember, just for one example, one evening on the boat, an older man came to our boat. We were anchored down. We were getting ready for bed. It was dark. And somebody came canoeing, paddling up to our boat. And it was an elderly man. He had been eating fish and he got a fish bone stuck in his esophagus. And so, you know, that's a surgical. You need something that's going to go in a scope and pull it out. And I didn't have any of that material, obviously. And I said to him, listen, you need to get help in a hospital. The closest hospital was over 8 hours away. And I said, why don't you go home? And I'm going to give you a medicine. I gave him an injection that would just help with some pain. He was in a lot of discomfort. And I said, I'm going to pray with you. I know that God can do some amazing things. And if he chooses, he can cure you. And if not, you're going to come in the morning and we're going to try to get to the hospital. And the next morning, the guy didn't come. So I went to his house and he just looked at me and he said, you know, you prayed, God cured me. It was so obvious God cured him. And, you know, sometimes
praise
the missionary
God.
Goes, really? You know, I didn't say that, but I want to say, really? He cured you? These people with their faith. And those kind of situations would open the doors for people. They want to know, who is this God that helped? And we would be able to study together and spend days studying the Bible together. So, you know, the day was involved with just daily tasks of fishing, of visiting, of walking through jungle villages, and when you can, help with medical, and then open the doors to sharing the gospel.
It isn't the case that getting there through a boat is the easiest way to do it. In most of these places, there is no other way to do it. I remember visiting one of the Luzero boats, and we had to fly for a while and then land and then find the boat, and it wasn't a small boat either. So there are evangelistic campaigns that happens in these boats. There are schools that sometimes classes that happen on the boats. So it's a very holistic experience that is brought to those villages along the river. Brad, give us an indication of how big the Amazon is and how big this operation is as you travel from place to place, because you mentioned spending, you know, days, months sometimes in one location working with those people. But if you look at that, that's a very tiny dot, and the Amazon is pretty big. How did you feel with your family in this ministry for all this time?
That's a great question. And I remember one night specifically, we were in one village for about 3 months. We were doing an evangelistic series. We had just started a new church. We had 20 people baptized. And I remember going back to the boat at night, and in the evening, we would lay on top of the boat. I would lay up there with my boys. And, you know, in a jungle village, there's no artificial light. So you could see more stars. You could see so much of the galaxy that you never imagined existed. And laying up on top of the boat, thinking about what God was doing in that village, it suddenly hit me. You know, we're just so insignificant. We're so small in the middle of this galaxy. And suddenly I realized in the Amazon, we're nothing. We're in this one tiny little village on this vast river waterway. And you know, how many villages or rivers did we pass to get to this village? And the idea of how much work there was still to do in reaching so many areas, you know, humbled me to realize God uses us. Missions is such a blessing to be involved in missions, but understanding that God is the owner of missions and he's more concerned with reaching these people than we are. And it really served also as a motivator as a church to realize the vast areas that we have today. I'm so thankful to say we have a mission training school in the Amazon. Our union is training an army of young people every single year, putting them out in villages, some with the Luzero boats, some in villages that the Luzeros have passed. And we also have the floating church that we inaugurated as a partnership with the World Church a few years ago, that we have a pastor living on. And that floating church comes up in some of the villages that the Luzeros have opened, and they spend more time doing a complete evangelistic series. So we're trying as a church to really grow with more boats and more missionaries to reach the vast Amazon.
Brad, tell us about Amazon Lifesavers Ministry and how people can get involved in helping others in that enormous Amazon basin.
Yeah, Elder Wilson, we and the Northwest Brazil Union, we call the whole program today the Institute of Missions of the Northwest Brazil Union. And in the Institute of Missions, we run several different programs. One of those is Amazon Lifesavers. Amazon Lifesavers today is our program that we do short-term mission trips. So we coordinate the Luzero boats, the floating church, the short-term missions with the mission school. Amazon Lifesavers is an initiative that we have that groups can come down and serve with our long-term development. So we get a group, for example, Loma Linda comes down on mission trips, or Southern Adventist University or PUC. Most of our groups come from Brazil, from our Adventist University in UNASP, and they come and they bring young people to spend 10 days traveling on boats to visit some of the villages that we're building up and doing church planting on a long-term basis. So people can come. It's a wonderful experience. You know, people say, oh, but as short-term missions, are they valid? They're definitely valid when they're designed with a long-term development program. And that's what we do. We bring you down and you can be a part of reaching a village that we continue working in, doing church planning, church construction. So people can visit our websites. We have websites that they can visit and find out more and come down and be a volunteer and serve the church in the Amazon.
If you're interested in doing what Brad just described, which is a short-term mission trip or even a longer-term mission trip, visit our website, revivalformission.tv, and all the links will be there. In a few moments, Brad is going to tell us more about opportunities that you could have for mission, and he will also talk about a transition that he's going through, going from the Amazon River to the Nile River in Egypt. And this is an amazing lifelong experience of mission that Brad has had, and we cannot wait to ask him more questions. If you're at home, don't go away. Stay after the break, and we will come back with Brad for more questions. Welcome back to Revival for Mission. And today we have a real missionary with us. We've been talking to Brad Mills, and we're going to carry on that conversation. Brad, you spent 13 years in the Amazon. Do you have more stories for us from the Amazon? And then we're going to talk about your transition to a whole new challenge in Egypt.
You know, I think stories, I could fill books and books of all the things that God did while we were in the Amazon. If I had to just say one more story in a quick way, I would remember when my wife and I moved to the Amazon and we were learning still what it means to be a missionary. And the question that I raised in my mind, what's the limit on missions? What's the cost of being a missionary? And we read stories in the Bible of Paul, for example, in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about the lists of hardships and sufferings that he went through. And I remember telling the Lord, Lord, you know, some of these things I don't want to ever live through. And one of those was a shipwreck. And in 2011, I lived through a shipwreck. One of our Luzero boats went down in a storm. We lost one of our volunteers, a pastor's daughter that was on the boat. Many of our volunteers suffered traumatically that evening. And I remember after I came back, I got back on shore. I didn't think I was going to live. I was stuck in the boat under the water at night. And I truly believe, looking back, that an angel pulled me out of the water, pulled me out from trapped inside the boat underwater. And as I got on land, I said, Lord, why? You know, this is one of the things I said I wasn't willing to do. And as I dialogued with God and God responded to me, he said, You don't make the decision what the limit is.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm so excited that Brad and his wife are going to Egypt. I know God's going to bless them enormously. My real piece of advice, I suppose, and you're going to do this so well, get close to the people, love the people, learn the culture. It's a rich culture. And what an enormous blessing you will be as you allow God to work through you. I mean, Jesus himself spent 2 years in Egypt as a child. And so you're going to be in the same place where Moses was in the bulrushes there in the little boat. You're going to be in the place where you can do tremendous ministry. But tell us a little bit about this transition, because you're going from one great river to another great river, Amazon to the Nile, but many differences in between. But tell us a little bit about your anticipation.
Well, you know, I'm not even really sure what to anticipate, as we've never been to Egypt. My wife, my two boys and I, my boys are 14 and 12. We prayed about it as a family when the church invited us. And my boys both said, Dad, if God's calling, we're willing to go. And as a family, we're excited. We've never lived in such a big city in all of our lives. And but we're excited. You know, one of the things that really just impacted us so greatly was the need for more missionaries, more Adventists in the large cities in the Middle East. As I mentioned, you know, Manaus, the capital of our union, we have one Adventist for every 34 people that live in the city. And in Cairo, it's one for almost every 150,000. It's just completely different. So, you know, that whole idea of me being in one little village in the middle of the Amazon, I'm going to be talking to one little person in like 22 million, you know, but I just really believe that God can do amazing things. And so we're excited. It's going to be a new challenge. We're praying that the Lord will equip us. Our biggest request of the Lord is that we can have cultural sensitivity, learn the language, learn the local culture. And my wife and I, we consider ourselves Brazilian. We're totally Brazilian. And now we want to become Egyptian. We want to be able to say after a few years, oh, we're completely Egyptian. We love these people, this culture, and we can work with them locally. That's our prayer to the Lord.
Thank you so much, Brad, for your contributing to helping us to know God can use people anywhere. Now, we've been talking to Brad Mills about a river, the Amazon River. Now he and his wife are going to the Nile River. Let me tell you, in Revelation 22, verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." God wants to take us to that river. We'll see you again on Revival for Mission.